to dinner, you and your guests. Think about this, the incredible, wonderful investment in KABU, and I get the honor of hosting you here and meeting you. We have a wonderful time at dinner. I get to hear your life story as well as whoever you bring. And we get to toast KABU, to break bread together. That's called Dinner and a Show. The show is Democracy Now! Dinner is dinner with you, and I have the honor of doing that with you. We urge you to call. That's a $2,000 contribution that goes directly to KABU. The number to call is 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. It's the last time we're offering it. Again, you don't have to know when you can do it. You just have to call up and say, I'd like to make that reservation. Maybe there's an anniversary or a graduation or a birthday or a holiday you want to celebrate. I have sung happy birthday many, many times to folks who come for dinner. But please call in. What counts right now is your call. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. We cannot do this without you. Please make that call.
Again, thank you so much, Amy Goodman. We appreciate you helping us with this task. I hope someone takes you up on your $2,000 gift idea. I think that would be a fabulous experience. But whatever you do, just call 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm/give. Want to also thank Maya, Laura, and David. David from Vancouver gave an additional gift, and the others were from Portland. So we thank you all for calling in, and we thank you, Amy Goodman, for all you do to bring the world right to us.
KABU would like to thank our community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by the Roxy, a diner located at 1121 Southwest Stark Street and serving breakfast and burgers anytime, open 24 hours, closed on Mondays. Lunch was provided by Sizzle Pie, a vegan, vegetarian, and meaty pizza place located at 624 East Burnside Street. Dinner was provided by Marrakesh at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue, serving traditional Moroccan food. For more information on how you can support KABU, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. This month, because of the membership drive, the Program Advisory Committee will meet Tuesday, February 21st at 6 p.m.
This program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, accessories, and gifts with a focus on U.S.-made and certified fair trade natural fiber clothing since 1984. Gazelle is located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at gazellenaturalfiberclothing.com.
And this is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're going to go to some music and then be right back.
Rivers have turned to gray. The color green no longer paints the leaves, and the trees have all burned away. Color nature gone.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio with your host, Paul Roland. Be with you up until 9 o'clock when Political Perspectives comes your way. Actually, it's a Project Censored Radio examines the state of the free press in 2017. 9 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein presents the Election Crimes Bulletin with Greg Palast. And 11, it's the Food Show, talking to the author of Meet Me at the Bamboo Table about how food can nourish the body, community, and our whole selves. And thank all of you for your support during this pledge drive and for bearing with us as we do what we got to do to keep this station on the air. And if you haven't called in, you know what you can do. We'll be talking about that throughout the show, as we have been. This is our last day. We need your support. And today, I just want to get that little bit of Exit. If you don't know the band Exit, X-I-T, you really should. Great Native American band from the, I'm not sure they started in the 60s, anyway, in the 70s. That was Color Nature Gone. We're going to be talking about a book, a really important book, a really good book, The Nature Fix, Why Nature Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Creative, by Florence William. Florence Williams is a contributing editor at Outside Magazine and a freelance writer for the New York Times, New York Times Magazine, National Geographic, New York Review of Books, Mother Jones, Slate, and a bunch of others. She's a fellow at the Center for Humans and Nature and a visiting scholar at George Washington University. Her work focuses on the environment, health, and science. Her first book, Breasts, A Natural and Unnatural History, came out in 2012, received the Los Angeles Times Book Prize in Science and Technology, and the 2013 Audi in General Nonfiction. Her new book, of course, The Nature Fix, investigates connections between the brain and nature and was just released. Edward O. Wilson calls the book a beautifully written, thoroughly enjoyable exposition of a major principle of human life, now supported by evidence in biology, psychology, and medicine. And she lives in Washington, D.C. with her husband, Jamie Williams. And this interview was taped yesterday. This is something new. So there are not going to be any call-ins for this. So enjoy. And we'll be back talking to you live in about 10 minutes. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO. So in the introduction to your book, you talk about your own disconnection from nature, having lived in the mountains in Colorado for quite a while, and then leaving there because of your husband's job and moving to the Washington, D.C. area, which was much, much different. And in fact, that kind of being a spur eventually to writing this book. Talk about that.
Yeah, sure. I had been living in the Rocky Mountains for 2 decades in Colorado and Montana, and I was very spoiled. I had a really nice life out there. In Colorado and Boulder, right outside my door, there was a trail that went right up into the foothills. And then, you know, behind that, these, you know, 11, 12,000 foot snowy peaks. And I was on that trail, you know, pretty much every single day of my life, you know, for a short walk. I didn't even, I think, realize how much I needed that kind of landscape and that kind of, you know, just break into nature as part of my day until I lost it. And we moved to Washington, D.C. from my husband's job about 4.5 years ago. And I kind of felt like this cortisol bomb, you know, this like stress bomb sort of went off in my brain moving into a big urban area. The noise pollution was terrible. The neighborhood I live in, Washington, D.C., is kind of under the flight path of Reagan National Airport. So I didn't even know I was someone.
Because the planes go right on the Potomac.
Yeah, the planes follow the Potomac. Yeah, I mean, we thought it would be this kind of a nature-y part of D.C. because it is near the Potomac and near the CNO Canal, and there are trails there. And actually, Washington has some great parks, but I wasn't prepared for the noise. Rock Creek Park is terrific. National Park Service unit. Yeah, so I wasn't prepared for the noise, and I never thought of myself as a noise-sensitive person. But sure enough, it started to drive me nuts. And then, you know, there's everything like the traffic, and there's this kind of Euclidean asphalt environment. And it really affected my mood. I felt like it affected my cognition. I felt like I had higher levels of anxiety. I wasn't sleeping well. And so as a journalist, I was curious about what the science had to say about what was going on with my brain in this different environment.
You talk a lot in the book about current neurophysiological research into the effects both of the loss of contact with natural environments and the beneficial effects of being in nature. Did you know much about that before you started working on the book?
Not very much. I mean, I'd been familiar with the work of Richard Louv, who's a journalist who's been writing in this space for a while. He wrote a book called Last Child in the Woods, where he talked about a condition called nature deficit disorder. And I wondered if that's what I was experiencing. You know, was I experiencing kind of the absence of nature as well as kind of the assault of urban life? And shortly after I moved to D.C., I was given an assignment by Outside Magazine to go to Japan to write about a practice there called forest bathing, where researchers were really studying what was happening to people's physiologies as they spent time in the forest. So forest bathing is this, it doesn't really involve taking off your clothes. it's where people go into the woods and they just kind of commune with nature through all of their senses. And they're really actively paying attention to what they're smelling and what they're hearing, the breeze on their face, you know, maybe they'll drink some bark tea. And so even in just 15 minutes of being on these trails in Japan, scientists were recording that people's blood pressures were dropping, their heart rate variability was dropping, their cortisol levels were dropping. They were reporting happier moods, you know, more creativity, feelings of vitality. So that's just after, 15 minutes of being in nature.
You know, that brings to mind this place I went to called Monte Verita in Ascona, Switzerland, which in the early part of the 20th century was kind of a hotbed of these trends of naturism, otherwise known as nudism, sunbathing, like dancing out in the open, alternative healing, all sorts of stuff. It was just a part of a broader movement kind of started in the German-speaking countries called the Wandervogel, this back-to-nature movement, people taking long hikes, kind of grew out of the romantic reaction to the industrialism. Anyway, all that got, unfortunately, terribly co-opted by the Nazis in like the Nazi youth movement, which is a whole other story, but it reminded me of that time period. There's this whole reaction to industrialization in these broad popular movements that happen.
Yeah, the spa movement.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I mean, we used to be much more connected to the idea that environments mattered to our health. And when people used to be sick, and if they had the resources, they would go to these mountain spas where they could sort of take the waters, you know, take the baths. And even, you know, Florence Nightingale, you know, one of the kind of early sort of nurse almost philosophers, wrote that people need sunlight, that they need fresh air. And she noticed that, you know, even very, very sick patients lying in bed would turn their faces to the window, almost like a plant turning to the light. And yet that was 150 years ago. And yet then we forgot. And we started putting patients in totally climate-controlled, you know, windowless, ugly places and gave them medicine. And now we're kind of coming back to the idea that actually your environment still matters. It matters to how well you heal, matters to how you feel.
Yeah, I heard something on the radio about a movement to bring back natural and aesthetically pleasurable settings in hospitals to facilitate healing.
It is finally coming back, and the reason is because now there's evidence. So there have been some really interesting, really important studies showing that patients who have views, just even views of trees and grass, have shorter stays in the hospital after surgery. They request less pain medication. They report, you know, just feeling better and more positive. So it matters.
And that's interesting because you could actually make the argument that it was at least in part the scientific worldview itself that led to our disconnection from nature, with its objectification of the natural world and its contribution to a vast technological expansion in the past couple centuries. And now, sort of paradoxically, some scientists are rediscovering these connections.
Well, we live in a very evidence-based society. You know, our institutions are not going to change their policies unless there's proof that it will save them money in the long run and that it will help patients. So, you know, I welcome the science. I think if that's what it takes, you know, to get people to to get these institutions to change, and even to just get individuals to change their behavior, then I'm for it. And so it's been exciting to kind of watch the science unfold in recent years. There are all kinds of new tools that scientists are using, even to measure people's brain waves, to measure certain brain activation patterns. Now you can actually take an MRI into the field. There are these kind of portable ways to image the brain. There are EEG units that you can wear in the field that measure different brain waves. And I did some of that actually on myself. and I watched as my brain waves, changed in different environments. For example, alpha waves. I was really trying to get more alpha waves in my brain. Alpha waves are kind of the holy grail of brain states. It's kind of that calm, alert phase associated with, for example, Buddhist monks and meditation. And it turns out that nature can also facilitate these brain waves.
Yeah, the word biofeedback kind of takes on a new significance.
It's like biophilia feedback. Right. Yeah, exactly.
You also talk about this really big project that you were participating in to map out the connection of people's moods to their activities and their environment that they're in. That sounded really interesting.
It is interesting. The app is called Mappiness, and it was designed by an economist in the UK, in England, and he designed it to reach tens of thousands of people. It pings you twice a day, and it says, how do you feel today? How do you feel right now at this moment? Do you feel happy? Do you feel sad? Do you feel alert? A couple of other questions, just very quick questions. And then it would correlate your responses to where you are on on GPS, on maps. And if you were outside, it asked you if you were outside or inside. And then you could even take a picture and send it into their database of what you were looking at, if there are trees around you. After years of collecting this data, like millions of points of data, it's kind of a big data project. One of the surprising findings is that the unsurprising findings are that people are happiest when they're with loved ones, or when they're having sex, or when they're playing music.
People get pinged when they're having sex.
Right? Our phones are in all aspects of our lives, I guess. but one of the surprising things was we are like also incredibly happy when we're outside. And there was even controlling for work, so it wasn't just that we weren't at work. People are least happy, by the way, when they're sick in bed or when they're at work.
Surprise.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that I think that we don't really appreciate how strong our environments affect us. We take it for granted. We think, oh, nature's nice. Sure, it's great. But we underestimate actually how profoundly happy we can feel when we're outside.
Hi, I'm Joanne Hardesty, and I'm back to encourage you to give us a call at 877-500-5266 and become a member of KBOO today. We have some fabulous thank you gifts. Why do you want to be a member? You want to be a member so that you are part of your community radio station. It is absolutely critical, and this time, that we have a strong membership base, because we are the resistance. We are the resistance to the current administration. We are the resistance to power grabs by corporate interests. We are the resistance to inequality in this land. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, and become a member today. If you're already a member, how about upping your membership? If you're currently giving us $10 a month, maybe now you want to give $15 a month. Maybe you want to give $20 a month. We make it very, very simple to do that with our electronic fund transfer. That money comes right out of your checking account, right off of your credit card, every single month, and you probably wouldn't even miss it. And I want to thank Jim from Portland, Elizabeth from Portland, and Gabrielle from Hillsboro. Now, Portland's been represented well today. I know that we are heard all over the country. Won't you join us? Won't you become a member today? The number to call, 877-500-5266, or you could go online at kboo.fm/give and become a member that way. But we have some fabulous volunteers here who can't wait to take your call. They want to help you become a member. They want to help you support community radio. And the number to call again, 877-500-5266. I have been a member of KBOO for the last 25 years. I feel like this is part of my extended family, and I do this because I genuinely love this community, and I want it to be better. I want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to create the beloved community. Won't you join me? The number to call, 877-500-5266. We are much stronger together, and if you become a member and your neighbor becomes a member and your family member becomes a member, all of a sudden we have spread the wealth and we spread the work, quite frankly, because there's a lot of work that we're going to have to do to hold this administration accountable, and KBOO will be your community voice to make that happen. Please give us a call now, 877-500-5266. We come to you and ask you to join us, because we don't go to corporations and ask them to give us money, because that money comes with strings, and we do not want to be beholden to those strings. We want to be beholden to you, because you, the community, is what makes community radio happen, what makes it survive, what makes it thrive in these times. These are the times that we need a thriving community radio station, so that we can bring you the public affairs programming that you have come to love and respect. We can bring you the music programming that you have come to love and respect. We can bring you those guests from all over the world who are living experiences that we need your help with. So won't you go to your phone now? Join us in your membership. Become a member by calling 877-500-5266.
And Joanne, I just want to, before we go back to the interview, I just want to mention this. There are copies of this book available for a premium. I'm not sure what it is. Probably somebody in there knows. The Nature Fix, Why Nature Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Creative.
Well, I will find out what the pledge limit, what the minimum donation is for the book. Didn't know that we had the book to give away, but I will bring that back the next time we do a break. And people should ask when they're calling 877-500-5266 how they can get the Nature Fix for themselves. And again, 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm/give. However you want to give this morning, we will be very grateful and appreciative. If you want to give $5 a month, we would love that. If you want to give $20 a month, we would love that. Whatever level you can give that is enough. But we need you to join us today. Again, the number, 877-500-5266. And ask the answerer what special thank you gifts are available for you. Again, 877-500-5266. Now's the time to call.
And I'm back talking with Florence Williams about her book, The Nature Fix. So I guess you could say your book addresses what could you call the modern condition that most of us face: urbanization, technological intrusion in our daily lives, this growing distance that most of us have from unmediated nature. But of course, you know, each successive generation of children knows less and less of that non-humanized natural environment. And now with cell phones and ever more media saturation, there seems to be a greater and greater disconnect. So you have kids.
I do have kids. I have teenagers.
You must notice that.
I sure do. They like their phones. They're very attached to their phones. You know, as are kids today. I mean, that's really the currency, you know, through which kids communicate with each other. It's the currency, you know, through which they confront the world. You know, I would never want to take their phones away forever. But I do encourage them to put them down sometimes and pay attention to where they are. Fortunately, when my kids were little, you know, before they had phones, you know, there was this wonderful window in which to instill a love of nature. And so by the time you have teenagers, you know, of course, they're going to be involved with their peers. They're going to be involved with technology. But if they have this love that was instilled in childhood, they will have this love of nature the rest of their lives. And even if as parents we get annoyed because they're not necessarily partaking in nature as much as we'd like right now, we can be rest assured that they will come back to it, especially when they need it.
So another thing you talk about is this idea of solastalgia. The loss of the place of your youth. So I was thinking about this. It's not just the loss of connection to nature, but of a connection to a particular place where you grew up or were born, whether from the landscape itself being altered or moving away. I think I was seriously impacted by being uprooted from the place where I was born and grew up. In my case, taken halfway across the globe to the Philippines, where my father took a job. Where I grew up myself in the middle-class suburbs of Washington, D.C., there were woods and meadows, open streams. Looking back, is certainly, I don't want to romanticize it, but I felt like I had a lot of freedom to interact with the woods on my own without being supervised. Anyway, a lot of that's gone now, for sure, the woods anyway. So cities get filled in, the suburbs become part of the city, surrounding small towns become the new suburbs, and everywhere direct access to natural landscapes recedes. Certainly when I grew up, there were a lot more opportunities for kids to interact spontaneously with natural elements, animals, landscapes. So talk about this idea of a solastalgia.
Yeah, I think you raise a number of interesting points. Solastalgia comes from two words, solace meaning comfort and alga meaning pain. And it was coined not so long ago by an Australian philosopher. And it's this idea that there is a tremendous sadness associated with the loss of our childhood landscape. And it's something that certainly generations now are really experiencing all over the world as landscapes are changing because of climate, they're changing because of urbanization. We are watching the landscapes of our youth kind of disappear. But not only that, our children today just aren't going outside. And so do they even have a connection to landscape, I think is a really profound question, because we know that children are naturally, as you were, exploratory, you know, playful creatures. It's kind of how children are wired to learn, is through exploring their environment. There's a statistic that something like 71% of mothers today remember that they played outside as children every single day. And usually that was without an adult around. You know, we used to go out in packs. We used to go out with friends. There, you know, this was not like a structured soccer practice. So 71% of mothers did that, and yet only 28% of mothers report that their children play outside every day. So that's a tremendous change in just one generation. And yet I feel like it's very little remarked upon. What kind of impact does this have on their psyches? What does it have on their social-emotional development? You know, we know from studies that children need this kind of exploratory play that they're not getting. And so now, I mean, you do kind of see an epidemic of anxiety, of kids who don't feel like they are so good at problem solving. You know, college psychologists are reporting that their college students are coming to school and they don't really know how to be resilient. They don't have kind of this sense of how to take care of themselves. And so I believe that there may be a real profound connection here in terms of how they were raised now in these very managed, indoor environments, very structured, where they're not really out there figuring things out for themselves. And now it's like, where are the kids? It's kind of like my neighborhood now is like this moonscape. There are no children playing in it.
Let's talk more about this managed environment and also manage children. So there's the need, largely suppressed or channeled these days, for adventure to go out freely into the landscape. And the other side of that is letting things happen spontaneously rather than, say, bringing them up and interacting with them on your phone or Android or iPad or whatever. Anyway, speaking of the DC area, there was a case that came to be known as, I think, the free-range kids, where some parents got in trouble for letting, where I think somebody like called the police because they saw a kid walking by themselves to the park or something, and had to go to court.
Right, it's now such an unusual. I do know the case. It was in Maryland, actually, just outside of D.C. It was actually a set of siblings walking home from the park, or walking, maybe walking to the park. You know, it was a short walk, and the parents said, okay, here's how you go. Good luck. Have a great time. And someone called the police, basically took the parents in for questioning. They were threatened with, you know, child abandonment and endangering a child. And it was a really explosive case because certainly when we were kids, it was not unusual for, you know, a 6 or an 8-year-old to be walking home from the park. And now it's such a rare sight that, you know, the police are called in.
I've been thinking a lot about feedback loops and dynamics, maybe too much, actually, especially around global warming. With what's going on up in the Arctic and the loss of sea ice and permafrost and the accelerating effects all that is having. Anyway, it seems like the same concepts can be applied to our own relationship with nature. The more we get disconnected, the less we can even recognize natural phenomena. And in a way, the less we even care about the natural world enough to want to protect it.
Yeah. Big thought. Well, there have been studies looking at what's called nature connectedness. There's actually like a psychological scale called nature connectedness scale. And certainly the more time you spent outside as a kid, the more nature connected you are. And the more nature connected you are, the more conservation oriented you are, the more you care about, the more you love those kinds of things, and the more you want to protect them. And so I think what you're seeing now actually is this really interesting movement in the environmental groups, both nationally and regionally and locally, that the future of conservation really depends on getting kids outside. And so all these environmental groups are building these programs now to get people into nature. And it's kind of an interesting shift because once upon a time, I think people who cared about conservation wanted to see fewer people in nature, you know, keep the wilderness empty, keep it wilderness. And now there's just been this radical change of actually, no, we need to get inner city kids out. We need to get all kids out. We need to get families out because if they don't love it, there will be no hope for saving
it. There is the problem of loving it to death, too.
Well, there is, but I think, you know, now it's like we'd rather risk that than having no one even notice that it's gone missing.
And we're back. I am Joanne Hardesty, and I'm here once again to ask you to join us as part of the KBOO family. We come to you a couple of times a year to ask you to call us at 877-500-5266 and join us and become part of the KBOO family. That is so key that you become a part of the KBOO family, because community radio is what's going to save us during this administration. Knowing that you can turn on KBOO first thing in the morning and hear Amy Goodman, that you can hear public affairs programming that's absolutely targeted on the issues that are impacting our day-to-day life. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. And as a thank you gift, you could get a copy of the Nature Fix, Why Nature Matters, and you can get it for a $75 pledge. It is that simple. But you have to call 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm/give and become a member that way. However you choose to become a member isn't important. The fact that you become a member is key. And we would love it if you would sign up for an electronic fund transfer. It actually gives us confidence that we will have the resources we need from one month to the next month to the next month. And if you could give $20 a month, that would really have an impact. If you could give more than that a month, that would really have an impact. So if you could, give us a call at 877-500-5266 and tell us what would you like for a thank you gift. This fabulous new book, The Nature Fix, Why Nature Matters by Florence Williams, is a wonderful, wonderful thank you gift. And we give you these not because we're trying to bribe you, but we want you to know how much we appreciate you joining us and becoming a member of KBOO. Again, the number, 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266. I have been a member of the KBOO family for over 25 years now. And, you know, the family keeps growing. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. And how fabulous that we have been here for 49 years, bringing you the best in public affairs programming, bringing you the best in current news and information. But we can only do that with your help and your support. 877-500-5266. Your contribution matters. Your membership matters. You joining your community radio station at this time, it is critical. Please join us, 877-500-5266. We have wonderful volunteers standing by to take your call, and they will be happy to walk you through the process. And in fact, the process is painless and quick and efficient. So we won't waste your time, but if you got to call us now, 877-500-5266. We would love you to become a monthly contributor to KBOO. Maybe you'd want to consider providing 1 hour of your wage per month as a show of solidarity and support for your community radio station. That would be wonderful. But whatever level works for you will work for your community radio station. Come on down and bring your check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're on bus lines. We're on the 15 and the 20 bus line. So you could come right in and see us in operation.
And the 19 and the 12 as well.
And we also have the 19 and the 12.
And so near the 6 as well.
We have all kind of buses that and public transportation that's really close by. And so it would be wonderful for you to just like pick whatever mode works for you. But come on down and actually see us. I mean, I think people would be surprised. People think that we sit in these very very eloquent offices. And in fact, we are as grassroots as it gets. But we do an incredible amount of work with very little resources. And that's why we every 4 times a year, we come to you and ask you to help by calling 877-500-5266.
Yeah, this is your opportunity to support talk radio. You're hearing Joanne and me. Joanne does tomorrow's Thursday show. I do Wednesday, week after week. We're pretty dedicated, and we appreciate your dedication as well to what we do here at KBOO and on the talk radio hour from 8 to 9 every weekday morning.
And all of us are volunteers. We do this for the love of community. We do this for the love of community radio. And we do it for the love of the community that we live in and our desire to make it better. And please join us. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. You will find the most wonderful volunteers ready to take your call. And of course, if the line is busy, we would encourage you to just hang up and call right back or go online to kboo.fm/give and become a member that way.
And again, there's a few copies of this book, The Nature Fix, Why Nature Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Creative by Florence Williams. If you call the number Joanne was just about to say, which is 877-500-5266. And yeah, give us a call now. Of course, we see this new administration now accelerating the post-1960s reaction to the challenges posed by the various countercultures, the African, the indigenous, the youth, the LGBTQ, in this case, the environmental. The push to roll back regulations, privatize, maximize extraction, exert more control. Seems like if we ever needed a nature fix, now's the time.
Well, I'm actually really hopeful that the ideas in this book could hold the key to actually bringing people together. Because as humans, we all have an innate love of nature. Now, it does have to be cultivated or we can lose it. But I was recently with a large Girl Scout kind of convention in the mountains of Colorado. And it was fascinating to me because the girls were from all over. Some of their parents, you know, were veterans. Some of their parents were very active in church groups. Some of their parents came from hunting traditions, they liked riding their ATVs and their motorcycles. and yet all these girls wanted to be there for the same thing, which was to learn how to do field archery and learn how to rock climb and learn how to ride horses. And they shared this love of nature that can really bring people together. And I also feel that even just being in nature, the studies show that when we're surrounded in nature, we're actually more empathetic. we can understand each other, even if we're across a divide. In fact, there are summer camps designed for kids of Jews and Palestinians, you know, designed to kind of help these kids get along. There are family therapy programs that take place outside to get families to sort of communicate better when they're in the wilderness. We know that nature facilitates social connection, and it facilitates communication. So I have this funny campaign. I feel like, you know, we all should buy potted plants, you know, and put them in Congress. Because if we could make Congress a little more naturalistic, you know, maybe people will be a little nicer to each other. They need a field trip over there.
Your book is subtitled Why Nature Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Creative. We've talked some about how nature makes us happier and healthier. Talk some about the creativity aspect.
Yes, I will. For this book, I traveled all over the world because I had an assignment from National Geographic, which was really a neat way to kind of see what different countries are doing and how they're approaching it. And I found that countries in Europe and in Asia, I went to Japan, I went to South Korea, I went to Singapore, they are particularly focused on the mental health and kind of de-stress aspects of nature because they believe in preventative health care. They believe in trying to reduce, you know, tremendous stress levels in these rapidly industrializing cultures. But interestingly, in the U.S., a lot of the research isn't so much focused on that as much as it is on making us more productive, also making us more creative, sort of how to multitask better, even in some ways. But the creativity piece is interesting. I spent some time with a cognitive psychologist at the University of Utah named David Strayer. And what he's found is that after 3 days in the wilderness, people's brains really shift in some interesting ways. And on tests of creativity, they improved 50%. And there are other tests by researchers at Michigan, University of Michigan, showing similar kind of 40% increases in things like working memory after spending time in a natural area. And so the question is, you know, sort of why? Like, what's going on with the brain that's allowing that to happen? It's one of the leading kind of theories right now is that, you know, our everyday lives are so kind of task heavy. We're constantly juggling things. We're checking off our to-do lists. You know, we're assaulted with 100 emails, you know, an hour. And that's really sort of taxing our frontal lobes, you know, just kind of like our really like task-oriented part of our brain. And because of that, you know, the other parts of our brain are kind of getting short shrift, and we are getting easily fatigued because our attention is just constantly being kind of made demanding, you know, demands on our brain. And so when we go into nature, those kind of task demands recede. And instead, we're, you know, walking kind of at the speed of cognition in some ways. The stimuli is easier to interpret. It's coming at us in a kind of more fascinating and less demanding way. We don't have to make rapid-fire decisions. We can kind of enjoy listening to a bird. We can look at the sunlight, you know, in a creek. It's these kind of like low levels of fascination that allow our frontal lobes to really take a break. It's almost like getting a break when you're exercising. You break for a little while, and then you come back stronger. So that's part of one of the theories that I think is kind of you know, intriguing.
You know, I'm sure you're aware that Portland has become something of a mecca. There's Portland and Seattle, I think, are two of the fastest increases of population in the country now, and a lot of it has to do with the sort of the lure of the Pacific Northwest of being, you know, you can get to the coast in 2 hours, you can be at Mount Hood in an hour, you know, we've got the Columbia River Gorge, there's all these amazing things, and there's a lot of parks here, you know, of course the environment is we realize it's not as healthy as people might have thought, but the reality is that so many people are moving here that we're massively increasing the density, and the whole urban growth boundaries, which has been this, you know, kind of one of the prides of Oregon, is being seriously challenged now. So again, it's like there's these bigger forces happening, and, you know, people are searching for these sort of individual solutions, you know, maybe people, it could be seen that people are coming here as partly for a nature fix. But again, it's like in doing that, we're changing the nature of this place here. I mean, it seems like there's these bigger battles that need to be fought. Do you think that? I mean, it seems like there's this paradox at the heart of all this. I don't know if I'm expressing it very well.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. I think you're very lucky you live in Portland. In fact, I'm going hiking in the Columbia Gorge later today. I'm really looking forward to that. I wanted to know, too, how do we really integrate nature into our cities? Because that is the reality. As of 2008, more than half of the people on the planet live in urban areas for the first time. We are really becoming an urban species. And if we acknowledge the fact that nature is critical to sort of our mental health and to our humanity, we're going to have to figure out ways to make our cities more livable. And so my feeling about that is that it is actually doable, but we have to be intentional about it. I wanted to visit the future. And so I went to Singapore, which is the third densest city on the planet. It's high rise. You would think it would be a place that's very antithetical to nature. But from not too long ago, I mean, maybe 20, 30 years ago, the leaders of that country decided to make nature a priority. And it's kind of, they were ahead of the curve that way. And so they incorporated, incredible parks. They had this like million tree planting campaign. They now require that every time you build a high rise, you actually have to more than replace the green space that you took away. So buildings now have rooftop gardens. They actually have vertical gardens. So you walk around the city and you see these sort of living skyscrapers that are covered with sedges and butterflies and birds. And it's really quite amazing. It's quite delightful. And it's not just, in the sort of expensive parts of town. It's not just for tourists. In worker housing, all these sort of public housing projects have to have these incredible gardens, these play areas, hiking trails, connected parks and corridors. And they've really done it because they have made an effort to do it.
Well, anything I haven't asked or any final thoughts?
I would just say that, again, I think there is hope for the future. I don't think we need to necessarily despair that our cities are sort of unlivable. And I would just encourage us all to kind of be intentional about the fact that we need nature, and we need it not just for ourselves, but we need it for everyone. So we need to figure out how to get kids outside. We have to make nature accessible for cultures and communities that may not have grown up the way we did. I love here in Oregon, your Proposition 99, the outdoor school program, I think is a great model for the rest of the country. I really commend you on it. And I would just try to get outside and take a hike today.
Fair enough. Well, thank you so much, Florence.
Thank you, Paul. It's been a pleasure.
And that was Florence Williams, author of The Nature Fix, Why Nature Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Creative. That's all for the interview today. We do have a certain amount of time left that we'd like to continue a little bit this conversation out of this book, and more the reasons why KBOO, the existence of KBOO in your life as sort of, in some sense, part of the natural environment. We are certainly very technological, but we are using the forces of technology to bring to you important issues also about protecting nature. Many of the battles that have been fought over the past decades to protect some of the important areas to you and to the Northwest here, whether it's the forests on Mount Hood or the issues of water quality in the Columbia River, the Willamette River, issues of deforestation in general, so many different issues, the harbor cleanup, so many issues. You probably heard about it for the first time here on KBOO. We break stories on a regular basis, and then other media outlets pick them up. KBOO is a really important window upon the world, as you're talking about with Amy Goodman. Anyway, the number to call to support this programming is 877-500-5266. We have about 10 minutes left. We'd like to get about, let's say, 10 more callers to call in and get a, and ask for a copy of this book or some of the other premiums that we have. Joanne, I don't know if you heard some of this conversation, but this is a an ongoing conversation. There's many different aspects to, let's say, to living in the city. I know you cover a lot of the aspects of what it's like to live in the city. Certainly, as your own personal experience is very different from mine, we all have to bring our personal experiences together and make that a stronger community for it.
Yes, we do. And yes, I've been fascinated by your interview with Florence Williams. I think that it's certainly not something that we think about intentionally, but we really should. I mean, I think we should be thinking about it more intentionally, about really how nature really does. I mean, it's funny because that's why people hike, right? Because they go out, they smell the fresh air, they're in the greenery, and it makes them feel more connected to the earth. I absolutely agree with that. And the phone, we've got some phone lines that would love to have callers. We've got some volunteers that would love to be answering your calls to 877-500-5266 because, you know, we do fabulous public programming, but we also need to stay on the air. We need to be able to pay our bills. And we do that because of community support of our community radio station. And I think we may have one or two of the books left, The Nature Fix. And so it would be a great time if you really, really, really wanted your own personal copy to give us a call at 877-500-5266. I know for me, I don't get to spend enough time in nature. I'm normally running from conference room meeting to the next conference room meeting, normally closed in all days. And so when I get an opportunity to get out in the nature and just free my mind, it's absolutely amazing to me how it just re-energizes me, really gives me that extra oomph so that when I go back to those dark conference rooms and those enclosed buildings, I take that energy with me. I think that's probably how I survive many of those conference room meetings.
And I know, Joanne, you don't exclusively cover, but I know you do focus a fair amount on the issue of the police here in town and related issues. Maybe that could be part of the stress reduction program for our poor beleaguered police officers, so they'd be a little less inclined to perhaps abuse people or mistreat people if they got to experience nature a little more.
I think so. And if they saw themselves as part of the community, and with being part of the community also means being part of nature, being able to really engage people in a way that's respectful. So we got a lot of work to do on that front still. As we know, administrators come and go, mayors come and go, but the systems stay in place. And that's why we want you to call us and join us because, you know, people say maybe, you know, whatever happens in D.C. happens in D.C. We can control what happens in Oregon, and we can control what's happening in Oregon by making sure we have a strong community radio station. Having a strong community radio station really gives us the opportunity to push back on the insanity that's coming out of D.C. There are many people who have said that, you know, there's really nothing we can do. We got a president that's a bit off the deep end. We have a Congress that's predominantly extremely conservative and really doesn't represent our views. But as you saw this week, that doesn't mean we don't fight. And when we fight, we win. Because guess what? Now, all of a sudden, the security advisor resigned. And he didn't resign because that Trump wanted him to resign. He resigned because the Congress members were getting pressure from their community members to get rid of him. And that's the power of community radio, because we bring you that information, tell you who to call, tell you how to have an impact. Those are the things that we do for you with your community radio station. And I want to take a moment to thank Eric from Southeast Portland. I want to thank Keith from Mount Hood.
And I want to thank Marcus from Northeast Portland. All these individuals stepped up today to make sure that their community radio station will continue to prosper into the future.
You know, I want to just emphasize, you know, you talk about when we fight, we win. I think the key to that is growing the we. We need a more of a we, because if too many people sit on the fence, if too many people just sort of watch the spectacle and you know, grumble to themselves, then things do just keep going for the worse and worse. But if more people actually come together and connect up and make that phone call, either to support KABU at 877-500-5266, or to that congressperson, as you were talking about, or call up and offer to volunteer to hear, or to some of the environmental groups or the police accountability groups or whatever it might be. That's how we get stronger, and that's how we oppose these unfortunate tendencies that are taking grip here in this United States.
Yes, it is. I mean, I'm actually excited. I think that we are in a period where we're going to see phenomenal change take place in our government structures. But as you said, the only way we can do that, Paul, is if we do it collectively, because collectively our power is unstoppable. That's why we've got the best community radio station on the planet, and that's why, with your support, by calling us at 877-500-5266, we can make sure that we are stronger and we get stronger. It's amazing to think that we've been here for 49 years and we're still thriving. We're still going strong. We're still the first place most community members go to when there's a crisis, because they know if they tune in to KABU, they're going to get the real scoop. They're not going to get the media spin. They're not going to get the corporate sanitized version. They're going to get nothing but the facts. But if you join us by calling 877-500-5266, we will be so much stronger.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, this is the opportunity. This is, I believe, the last day of our membership drive. So this is your last chance, certainly, to contribute to talk radio, to my show. So step up right now and give us a call, 877-500-5266. We only have a few minutes left. Let's get five more callers in the last 4 minutes here.
Yes, we've got 5 minutes left, and we got $695 to raise in the last 5 minutes, but I'm absolutely confident we can do it. All we need is about 4 or 5 people to call and do a monthly pledge. That would be so easy. It just comes out of your checking account, or it goes on your credit card, however you choose. An electronic fund transfer means that you could give much more than you could give today. So let's say $10 a month. That's $120 a year. If you can give $20 a month, that's $240 a year. Why not? Why not step up and become a member of KBOO today and help Paul achieve his goal today, because we're just only $695 shy of that, and with 4 minutes left, I have seen this happen. We can do it. We can do it if you call 877-500-5266.
Yeah, let's hear that phone ring.
Let's hear the phone ring. And then when that wonderful volunteer answers, tell them how much you appreciate Paul's programming. Tell them how much you appreciate his interview style, his ability to really bring to us a variety of opinions and authors and really valuable information. That's how we get paid. We get paid through the love, right? When
Indeed.
We know that you've invested in KABU, that's our payment. And we love KABU, and we want you to love KABU as much as we do. So again, 877-500-5266. Paul, how long have you been doing this program?
This time around, about 3 years. I was here for, I did about seven or eight years back in the 80s and 90s. Some people might remember that. But, you know, it isn't about us. You know that, Joanne.
Right.
You're very a self-effacing person. I really respect your style on the air myself.
Thank you.
I listen to you regularly. But, you know, we do put ourselves out there, don't expect anything in return. We really don't. That's the nature of activism. That's not the nature of community media. But we do appreciate when it comes back to us in the form of your membership, your support for the station. 877-500-5266. Please give us a call.
Please give us a call now. We've got maybe, looks like we've got two empty lines, so you could just jump to the front of the line right now. And if you called 877-500-5266 and say, yes, I want to be a member of KBOO, or I want to up my membership. You know, I've been at $5 level for the last couple of years, but life's a little better for me today, so I can up that to $20 a month. We would be greatly appreciative of that. And again, the number 877-500-5266, or you could go online, because some folks just aren't morning people. You could go online at kboo.fm/give and become a member that way. However you decide to become a member, maybe you want to come to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and check us out in person, because all you know is that we've been voices all over the neighborhood. So if you come down, you get to see us in the flesh. Again, the number to call, 877-500-5266. We love you. We love our listeners. We love the programming that we bring you. And we are all in this together. And so at this time, on the last day of our pledge drive, you've been thinking about it. I know you have. Today's the day to do it. 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266, or kboo.fm/give. That's your direction for this morning. We love you, we appreciate you, and we want to thank you for stepping up today and showing KBOO the love, showing KBOO that you support the work that we do, showing KBOO that today's the day that you're going to put your money where your activism is. Thank you so much, and 877-500-5266.
And thank you, Joanne. We got to get out of here. That's the end of our show. This is Wednesday Talk Radio with your host, Paul Rowland. Call us up and support. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted.